Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, the show that is young at 21. This is the oldest running debate show on Indian television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Today we have decided to get you a debate on an explosive issue, a sensational issue, most alarming issue, the burning news story of the week. Now, if you look at your TV sets, you'll associate these words with a very tabloidish Sushant Singh Rajput death debates that is on primetime television. But let us pause and think for a moment. What debate can be as explosive, if not more, as sensational, if not more, as alarming, if not more, than what is being dished out? Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, before we move any further, I want you to see these images. These are images that are coming in from a poll-bound state of Bihar. Look at these pictures. These are pictures of hospitals, dedicated COVID hospitals in Bihar. The story is not very different in other cities or other parts. And as this deadly virus, which is still out there, stronger than ever and invisible, it is affecting you more directly than you think it is, killing more than you think it is. We are now growing at a pace faster than any other. The R rate remains a cause of big worry. And now, 55,000 cases are being added each day. Make no mistake, life is not normal. I repeat, it is not normal. So on The Big Fight tonight, let us bring the focus back to where it should actually be in this country. COVID-19, 50,000 cases a day. And a fundamental question, are we doing enough? So that's going to be our top focus. We have divided this debate in two parts. One is when we are going to speak to doctors, epidemiologists, and know from them whether we are doing enough or not. And in the later half of the debate, we'll be speaking to politicians, political parties, state representatives. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say. Will it be a usual blame game, or have the politicians forgotten about this? We are so consumed in tabloidish debates and quests, even the politicians, that they don't even care. Let this be 50,000, 55,000, 60,000, 1 lakh. We do not care. Is that the case? Let's first quickly bring up our panel of doctors to know where we stand as of this moment. Not painting a doomsday scenario, but trying to understand where exactly are we in this fight. Dr. S.K. Sareen, director of ILBS and chairman. He's part of the Delhi's government's panel on COVID-19. Thank you so much, Dr. Sareen, for joining us. Dr. R. Ebenezer, head critical care services of Apollo Speciality Hospitals. We also have Dr. Tanmay Mahapatra, epidemiologist working in Bihar for Care India. Thank you very much, Dr. Mahapatra. And Dr. Vivek Jawali, Chairman, Cardiac Sciences and Executive Committee of Fortis Hospitals. Thank you so much to the four of you. In just a short moment, we'll be joined in by Dr. Om Srivastav, Consultant, Infectious Diseases at the Jaslok Hospital. Let us bring the focus back, doctors, as I'm sure you will too agree, because this is the biggest challenge that our country is facing as of this moment, especially the rate at which we are adding the new COVID-19 cases. As is the format of this show, we'll begin with what we call the first punch, where we guarantee 1 minute of opening comments to all our panelists. So, Dr. Sareen, let's begin with you. Your opening intervention, your 1 minute begins now.
Well, you rightly pointed out where we are heading to. It's a really worrisome situation now. And the way it is growing, we may end up, you know, being ahead of Brazil. The question, have we done enough? Yes, we have worked hard. But if the results are not showing, it means we still have to do much more. And we could have done more maybe in April or May when there were migrants moving to small towns and maybe cities. And they had carried with them the infections. I think that was one thing which we haven't. India is still just testing about 7,000 to 8,000 per million tests for corona, while even small countries like Turkey doing 35,000 to 40,000 tests per million. We are far, far behind. So firstly, and also the antibody tests, they have shown like Delhi has 23% of the population already exposed. So enough testing is not done. We need to much more and rapidly scale it up. antibody tests, the surveys have to be done. We have a long way to go.
Sure. Okay. Dr. R. Ebenezer.
Yeah, if you recall correctly, I think the first case was recorded in Kerala in January 30, and it took close to 2.5 months for 1 lakh cases to be recorded in India. But after that, we got around 15 lakh cases in the next 2 months. So definitely the coronavirus pandemic is peaking now, it is surging forward. But we can learn our lessons from other countries also. For example, if you take the United States of America, if you remember, New York was the first state to have coronavirus there. And it had a lot of hospitalizations and a lot of mortality. But the other states were not having that many hospitalizations. But later on now, it is very obvious that the number of cases in New York has now plateaued. Hardly there are cases now, but the other states have started peaking. A similar situation we are seeing across India. New Delhi, Mumbai, and Chennai were the initial cities which started showing a lot of numbers. Now all these major cities have started plateauing. We are seeing a drop in numbers in Chennai. We are seeing a drop in numbers in Mumbai. We have also controlled, to a certain extent, the corona in a very, very densely populated area like Dharavi. So these are certain things from where you can take the positives also.
Okay.
But there are some lessons for
okay.
us to
Dr.
learn
Ebenezer,
from this.
Okay, Dr. I'm going to come to you because you know, 1 minute time opening comments for everyone, and then we'll have a lot more time to discuss this in great detail. So, sorry to stop you short there. Dr. Jawali.
See, the management of a pandemic of this nature depends on pillars of three capacities. Number one, the healthcare capacity. We have shown, I think, by right actions, right capacity, and that is why our numbers grew slowly and gave us enough time to prepare. Number two, the governance, the political and bureaucratic capacity. Not really bad. I will not really sensationalize this and criticize everybody. Number three is the social capacity. Japan did not even lock down because they were so cocksure about their social capacity of the people. I think we have shown a poor social capacity and we have failed a lot at that front. And everybody at least should influence 25 people around them to do the things right. Simple things like wearing masks. Everybody is living there. So I think social capacity is an important thing that everybody will have to give attention to.
Strong point.
Thank
very,
you.
Very strong point. And we'll debate this and discuss this with great detail. Social capacity is an interesting point that has been spoken about by Dr. Jawali. But Dr. Mahapatra, your 1 minute.
Being about 4.5 months in this particular pandemic response in our country, we need to really understand how we have handled this over this time period. And while talking about this, we need to understand that how our population has been prepared, the community response have been developed to handle this not only as a disaster, but also as a health hazard. The panic, the stigma, different kind of knee-jerk responses to these peaking numbers need to be handled carefully because it's peaking. It's going to peak more, and we have not seen probably the worst yet. Given the epidemiological understanding in this particular peak, we can understand that we are right now having the shift from the sub-exponential growth to the exponential growth, and from here to come to the flattening of the curve, there will be some more time. And for that time, how well prepared we are with our health system being linked with the community through the surveillance system so that the numbers may peak, but population can handle this with proper response.
Right.
That is the crux.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Mahapatra. So opening comments made by all our panelists. Let me come back to you, Dr. Sareen. You mentioned two things, sero survey as well as antigen test. And we'll come to the larger point of this not affecting the big cities as it was initially to now smaller cities where perhaps even now there is a great, great challenge of capacity building. Do we have those capacities in those smaller places, tier 2, tier 3 towns or even villages or not? Dr. Sareen, first of all, let's talk about antigen tests, right? There are a record number of false negatives that come up. So do you think that this will give us a false notion of all is well? If we continue with these antigen tests, false negatives, we'll keep bloating the number of people we have added and the report of people testing negative, whereas that may not necessarily be the reality.
You hit the nail, the difference between the RT-PCR, the gold standard, and the antigen test is that you have much lesser capacity of finding the level of the virus. If the virus level is low, the antigen test will be negative. Hmm. So you may have a false negative in about 15% of the people. And because of that, the actual numbers may not be there. And that's where the community can be. So this is not the problem of the country. It's all over the world that this is a new disease, new virus, and the tests are not sensitive enough. So we should have those which are negative, but you have a suspicion in a given area, a second antigen test should be done, maybe when the virus levels are high, so maybe after 5 days or so. But what is worrisome is the exposure rate. 23% of the people in Delhi were positive, while when you test by the antigen or RT-PCR, only 0.6% were positive.
Correct.
You know, 1,60,000 out of 2 crores. So we have missed a lot, and therefore the virus was spreading.
It's a very important point. It's a very important point because, you know, Dr. Jawali. Yes, Dr. Jawali, I want to bring you in. Dr. Sareen mentions a very important point about the Delhi Sero survey. I'm sure we will see similar results in other cities as well. If 23% of Delhi was affected, were we giving ourselves a false notion again that all is well because these cases were never reported?
Correct. See, Sanket, what happens is this corona pandemic will go through 4 phases. The foreigners, people coming from abroad bringing the disease. Number 2, the clusters. And then later on, it will go to community. And number 4, the country. A country like us, which is so chaotic, is not possible that we will not go to phase 3 and phase 4, and we are going. But we took time and we reached slowly there. Let us not sensationalize. What is the Brazil population? 21 crores. What is the United States population? 33 crores. So we cannot say we have got 50,000 cases and we compare that with USA. Hmm. We compare it per million, this many cases. Number 2, we should not forget to talk about fatality rate, and we should not forget about talking recovery rate.
Sure.
We are far better. There is really no such a big panic, but I think we will go through these phases. Then there will be plateau, and then we will come down if you watch the
Dr.
USA,
Jawali,
the New York, Spain, everywhere.
Correct. Delhi. Dr. Jawali, the purpose of this discussion is certainly not to spread panic. I agree with you 100% that on certain parameters, in fact, on crucial parameters, things may not be as alarming as they appear. But at the same time, there will be important questions raised on our learnings from the past, especially now that this virus is traveling inwards. So I want to come to you. Yes, you wanted to say something, Dr. Jawali.
2 things.
Yeah.
A, we should not reinvent the wheel. What mistakes Bombay did, what mistakes Delhi did,
true,
Bangalore should not do. We have done right things to prevent as much as possible. We have reached this 4th phase. Now, the important mistakes that we are making is at the management of already infected patients. As you said, capacity of beds. We have got enough beds, but we are not distributing them properly. We are not to allow the asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic patients to hog the beds in a hospital with a good ICU muscle. These patients have to go to isolation places, and there people are not going to government places because the hygiene is not good. Food is not good. Hmm. We have to go on an overnight ward, 3 shifts, and within one day we can solve that problem. But we are fumbling at that lower bureaucracy level. Hmm. There are these mistakes, but otherwise these numbers are raging. I think we have done enough and this is it. And it will go to that particular level and it will plateau.
But
and
Dr.
if you look
Jawali,
at New York,
you
if
know,
you look
you
at Delhi,
raised such an important point. You say it will rise to a and then plateau. But Dr. Ebenezer, we do not even know what that... See, I don't think as of this moment anyone has a realistic assessment of what that peak is going to be. Can
Doesn't
you predict?
See, from our experience in Chennai, see, in the month of April, we were one of the first private hospitals, Apollo Hospitals, Vanagaram, to start catering to private COVID patients. Okay, COVID patients coming into the private sector. But we witnessed a surge in the month of May and June. See, the most important point is not only the rate, the COVID positive rate, that is not the only deciding factor. The rate of hospitalizations will play a major role. You may miss a lot of COVID positive patients because they're mostly asymptomatic. But the patient, number of patients coming into hospitals, number of patients requiring ICU care, that will be there for all intensive specialists, all the doctors who can visibly see it. Mm. What we witnessed was a surge in the previous 2 months, and now the COVID positive rate is also coming down in the city of Chennai. I'm again repeating, the city of Chennai. At the same time, the rate of hospitalization and the rate of intubations, rate of ICU patients admitting into ICU is also slowly coming down. So this is how the curve will flatten. It will reach to a peak, and afterwards it will slowly flatten, and you will see the rate of hospitalization slowly coming down. So that is very, very important. So the lockdown helped us to capacity build. That is very crucial. The lockdown Correct. Gave us time for us to capacity build, so that you won't be having 10,000 patients coming in a single
month. But you know, Dr. Ebenezer, did we build that capacity in our cities which were initially affected, or have we built those capacities even in tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 towns and our villages? Because, you know, if I speak to Dr. Mahapatra, you have closely affiliated, you're working in Bihar for Care India. Tell me the condition of the hospital. The dedicated COVID hospital in Patna. I mean, we have seen those pictures. Let's show those pictures to our viewers. Absolutely disheartening. And imagine if this is Patna, what would be the site in other small parts, districts, district hospitals? Let's quickly show those pictures, the Patna pictures. Dr. Mahapatra.
So actually, all these alignment between the requirement and the capacity, that takes some time. And if we are talking about the pictures that we are seeing, those are the pictures that when we have seen something wrong. But the point is, whenever we are having this kind of numbers, which are actually giving us some idea as where the things are going forward and where are we reaching, there is always a requirement of understanding that how things can evolve into the next day and how we can be requiring different kind of HR alignment as well as the supply alignment across our different populations. And based on all these, we need to understand that we can actually handle only by optimization. So what is happening around here, that is, there is an optimization, and that optimization is working quite well at places. That is, we need to understand that everyone don't need hospitalization.
Correct.
So we have to have proper community response and understanding to understand that how and when one person requires hospitalization. So there should be an effort to ensure that population suffer less from panic and more from judicious decision
making. But Dr. Mahapatra,
and from this decision making, it is required to treat those who need it at the right moment.
Absolutely agreed,
and
Dr. Mahapatra.
About villages too.
Dr. Mahapatra, absolutely agreed. My question is different. The question is, for those who require hospitalization, have we invested enough in capacity building in the period of the lockdown? And again, I give the example of Bihar. Look at the condition of the hospitals.
So there are different situations across the places, and we generally only have those pictures where we have seen things gone wrong. But pictures are something which is a continuous process. So this is not the picture which is actually everywhere we are seeing or it is happening. There are good signs also. And given that we have definitely built our capacity to ensure that there are different levels where we can see that the requirement is being aligned based on some understanding of where this is going to be there, what amount of different kind of supply and HR requirement will be there to handle this. And that is the system capacity based on information which is available.
Okay.
And based on that, there is always a conscious effort and which is actually paying its role. And that's because that's why the death rate is also quite low. If we look at Bihar and states like this, where actually health system capacity before corona was in a different situation, probably, but given the current situation in these dedicated COVID hospitals, we can see
how would you respond to criticism, Dr. Mahapatra, that states that have started with this desire to underreport have always suffered more in the past, and in the context of Bihar, this has been spoken about a lot, that the government is not testing enough. So surely the number of cases will be less.
Yeah, testing has always been an issue across the country, and with the passage of time, it has been seen that the kind of arrangements that has been made based on that testing has been kind of ramped up. There was always a confusion regarding this antibody test, and the point is, antibody test is not to test whether the infection is there or not. It was about the exposure, as the previous speaker also mentioned. So the exposure can only give us idea about the serosurveillance and all of the stuff, but to ensure that we can test more, there is requirement of this RT-PCR test and ensuring that through a little less sensitive way through antigen testing. And tests have been ramped up, and that is actually showing more tests becoming also positive through a high-risk approach.
Sure.
But still miles to go because we are actually in the exponential growth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Sareen, this last point that was made by Dr. Mahapatra, miles to go, is the real problem. Number one, we can't be lax in the national capital also just because cases are going down because, you know, the world over, we're hearing a second wave, a third wave, instances like that. Then the problem of this virus going inland, going into various smaller towns and villages, how do we effectively ensure that we have the requisite capacity? Your opinion on how do we manage this from here on? I mean, first of all, I want to ask you, how alarmed should we be with 55,000 cases being reported per day?
Well, certainly it is something to worry about and be cautious. I'll give you 3-4 bullet points.
Sure.
Delhi had a unique model of center and Delhi government working very well, and it really worked, and the numbers have come down. Number two, we set up, especially at the Institute of Liver and Biliary Sciences, the plasma bank. And it went out all over the country. And the reason is we don't want a single death. Infections can occur, but we don't want deaths. Three, we also have to understand that zero prevalence means 23% are infected, but 77% are still vulnerable. And we don't want herd immunity. We don't want the people to get immunity by getting infected. We have to protect them. And as earlier said, the social distancing, social norm is the only and only way. So people have a responsibility, not merely the government. And fourthly, India has not done enough in research and vaccine development. I would have been very happy if there were 50 trials running in the country for different types of vaccines and other things. We have to rapidly ramp up the capacity for vaccine testing, trials, new drugs, because we have a year and a half to fight. It's just not going to end up after the end of the lockdown or whatever it is. So I think we have many messages.
Okay. Dr. Jawali, very quickly, as I take closing comments from all my guests, Dr. Jawali, you started with a very, very significant point on social capacity. That you can expect a lot of the government, you can expect a lot from facilities, from the medical healthcare apparatus. But what about expectations of your own?
Yeah.
Where do we fare? And is that the only way to win this?
Yes, of course. Today, if you look at NHS, what medicines? They just give paracetamol, anticoagulation, and the symptomatic medicines. There are no medicines. If you wear a proper mask and wear it properly, keep 6-foot distance, the possibility of infecting other person is only 1.5%. This message, and hand hygiene, that will further deplete. So if we spread this message properly, at least 25 people, everybody spreads across. And the most important force in India for this is media, both print, electronic and radio, vernacular and English. I think we will go a long way in winning this battle. And the capacity building for bed, etc., we have to just be smart to distribute them properly and also work properly on home isolation.
Have we
done that? I think we will take care.
Dr. Jawali, have we done that? Have we been smart in our capacity building all
over
the country?
No, that is what I'm telling. We are failing and we are reinventing the wheel in every state. We should have, in Bangalore, we should have learned from Bombay and Delhi, and we should have quickly got a proper software where every hospital, every 6-hourly, fills in what is the vacancy of bed. ICU hospitals, those beds should not be spent, whether they are connected people, rich people, to patients who are mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic. And there are huge beds of medical colleges. These oxygen patients would go there. Isolation facilities created by government, normal isolation patients will go there who don't have capacity at their home. But these isolation centers must have good hygiene. We are not taking care of that. And they must have proper food facility.
Okay.
You do this and we have got enough capacity.
Sure.
We are not being smart enough.
Well said. Dr. Ebenezer, your closing comments.
Yeah. This pandemic has been an eye-opener in the sense it has exposed the lapses in our public health infrastructure. Okay. So we have to invest more in our public health infrastructure. That is very, very crucial. If you take the state of Tamil Nadu, we have one medical college in every district. even though we had a lot of patients, a lot of COVID patients, the disease, the damage due to the COVID pandemic was mitigated because we had a lot of public medical colleges, government medical colleges in each and every district. So investment in public health infrastructure is very, very crucial.
True.
As clearly pointed out my other colleagues, like the NHS, etc., I think in the years to come, public health infrastructure, along with the private health infrastructure, that will only mitigate any response towards an epidemic or a pandemic of this dimension. Yeah.
All right. Dr. S.K. Sareen, Dr. Ebenezer, Dr. Jawali, as well as Dr. Mahapatra, thank you so much for joining us and explaining to us in great detail as it should be understood by all of us. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us. We're stopping for a short break.
Thank you. Thank you.
When we'll come back, we'll look at the political aspect of this. State-central coordination, federal structure, all those subjects and a lot more, and how only a collective fight can help us win this battle. The crisis is still there. This is a huge crisis, and the virus is strong as ever. Strong and invisible. Back in a moment.